Well, hallelujah.
All right, good.
Praise the Lord. Now, I have a big problem this morning, and that is, having such a short time to spend with you, I don't know what to tell you. There are so many messages that keep flying around my mind. But, you know, I said, Lord, just give me what you want me to say.
Yeah.
Not what I want to say, what you want me to say. Amen?
Right.
And I couldn't get a definite message from the Lord, but you know what? We don't always have to get a prepared message.
That's right.
We have to learn to flow with the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen?
Yeah,
and, you know, it will amaze you, but it's true. God may give us a song without preparing the song, and you will be singing that song by faith. And you might not have time to rehearse it. But you see, with God, all things are possible.
Right.
We must not only be simple to believe Him, but expect greater things from Him, especially in these last days. God wants us not to have feeble faith. He wants our faith to be strong.
Right.
Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And yet we know we are not strong in ourselves. But when I'm weak, I am strong. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. Well, beloved, what can I leave with you this morning? But a passage of Scripture from Titus and the second chapter. Maybe all of us may know it, and some of us may know it, and some of us may not know it, but it matters not. Let's hear the word of the Lord. It's a tremendous passage as Paul writes to Titus and the saints. The second chapter in verse 11. For the grace of God, notice that. The grace of God. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world or age, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us unto Himself, or rather purify unto Himself, a peculiar people zealous of good works. And God bless this portion of His word to our hearts. Notice the expression, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. When? Tomorrow? Yes, in this present time, in this present age. In other words, not tomorrow I'm going to be more spiritual. Tomorrow I'm going to do this. Now is the time to get serious with God.
Right.
Because we don't know how many days on earth we have left. And as Brother Ike exhorted us, we should do our best to redeem the time. Make the best use of it, for the days are evil. But how can we live like this? The key is in the expression, the grace of God. Where would we be today without God's grace? Is it any wonder we love to sing Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Well, you know, in the Bible, every word is full of meaning. My words are spirit and they are life, the Lord said. Amen?
Right.
But we read the words of the Lord so casually. It's really sad we don't take time to go over His word slowly and prayerfully and ruminate. That's a big word. That means you bring it up and up again in your mind.
Right.
Those cut, chewing, cloven-footed animals are known as ruminants. And God wants us to be a ruminant people who not only take in the word, but they begin to bring it up again in their thoughts until God begins to enlarge what he has told us.
Amen.
And then we get the best nutrition from that word. It becomes substance to us,
yes.
Not just something in our head, but it reaches from the mouth and in the head area, goes all the way into the heart, and then it becomes part of us. So we become a living epistle written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Right.
That is God's will for all of us.
Right.
But we need the grace of God all the time. Now there's only one man, and I've searched the word on this. There's only one man among the writers of the New Testament who uses an expression found nowhere else. As beloved brother Paul wrote to the saints, he always starts out with grace, right? Grace and peace. That's the order, not peace and grace. You're not ready for peace until you get the grace of God.
Right.
And the order is never peace and grace. It's always grace and peace. Now you need about 5 minutes to think on that. Spell grace for me, everybody.
G-R-A-C-E.
And somebody said one time, I read it, take for G, God's, R, riches, A, add, C, Christ, E, expense.
Amen.
God's riches at Christ's expense. It's like the word Bible. B-I-B-L-E. We teach the little ones the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. And somebody came up with this definition, or the acrostic, the taking the separate letters. B, basic. I, instruction. B, before. L, leaving. E, earth.
Amen.
Basic instruction before leaving earth. Man shall not live by what? But by what? Do we love God's word like that? Can you say, my meditation of him shall be sweet? I will be glad in the Lord. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Beloved friends, every word in the Greek language, in the Hebrew language, has a numerical value. And I have always been interested in numbers since I was aware that there was more to the word of God than just the surface meaning, that God has depths of meaning in his word. And numbers are part of God's language to teach us. What does the number one mean? Our daughter was in New Orleans Friday night, and she called on me to say a few words. So she said, here's the 11th month, and today is the first day of the 11th month. So you have 1 minute to tell the folks about one. She meant it, of course, in a jovial manner. She always comes off like that. I said, one is a number of life and light. You can't have light without life. On the first day, what did God say?
Let there be light.
But who is the author of life? Light is just the manifestation of life. Life, light. And then you come to the nature of God, love. And those three words, enough books haven't been written yet. I haven't found one book anywhere that gives 1,000 pages, taking 300 for one word, life, 300 for the word light, and 300 for the word love. I haven't found any on the market anywhere. But those are words that are dynamite. Because those are words that link with the Lord, who is the Lord of life. And who is the light of the world?
Jesus.
And who is the one that so loved the world that he gave his son?
Jesus.
And who is the son of his love?
Yes.
And he loved the church and he gave himself for it. So one covers life, light, love. And you see those three words in the Mosaic Tabernacle only in one dimension of it, not the outer court, not the inner court, but the Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies was one piece of furniture. It was known as the Ark, or the Ark of the Covenant. By the way, it's the only piece of furniture linked with the word Lord or God. The Ark of the Lord, the Ark of God. So that must tell us something. Why is it called by the title God, the Ark of the Lord of the whole earth? Because it speaks of God himself. The ark was only a symbol of what? The Lord himself.
Yes.
He is the ark. Remember, there was only one door in Noah's ark. Where was the door? In the side of the ark. Where was Jesus wounded by the Roman soldier? And out of it flowed blood and water. He's the ark. He is the door. He's everything.
Amen.
But the ark went before the people in their journeys in the wilderness. He's the one that goes before us. The Lord is my shepherd. Who goes first, the sheep or the shepherd? And who follows whom? Notice it's the sheep leading and the shepherd behind the sheep. Because it's not the voice of the Lord we want the voice of man. What the people want. You hear that? What the people want. How about what God wants?
Amen.
That's our problem. We put our faith in man rather than our faith in God. And yet we put on the dollar bill what? Well, you want to know how much do we mean that? We have gone so far to make the dollar bill everything. God have mercy upon us as a people. But coming back to the ark. In the ark realm or the Holy of Holies, there was light that was not man-made. Or was not the light of the world, which is the sun. There's no sunlight in there. That's in the outer court. There is lampstand light in the holy place. But there is a light that is constant there. Tell me what kind of light that was. The Shekinah glory light of God. And that light didn't wax strong like the moon and wane as the moon. That light was constant.
Amen.
Just think about it. The light was constantly there. There's no darkness in that realm. And nothing dies in that realm. I want you to study this carefully. Nothing dies in the Holy of Holies. Everything lives. The ark is the container for the two tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments involving thou shalt and thou shalt not. Right?
Right.
But did you notice they are kept safely? They're not broken. Right? And all the commandments are fulfilled in two. What are the two? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, all thy soul, and all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. So in the two tablets of stone, we see the word love. In the golden pot of manna, which never spoiled, the daily manna spoiled if kept overnight. Is that true or not?
Right.
How come it doesn't spoil? And it's only in the New Testament we read the kind of pot. Not a silver pot, not a brass pot. Who can guess? A golden pot. That's only in Hebrews you read that. A golden pot of what? Manna. And the manna in the pot was preserved for an indefinite period of time. It never spoiled. So nothing dies there. The manna never spoils. And the rod of Aaron that budded and blossomed and bore almonds. Can you imagine a dead stick coming to life overnight and what it takes in the natural realm, a long time before you can see a tree and see it bud and blossom and bear fruit. It happens overnight, and all three are together. Yes. Now, there is nothing like a miracle of this kind. I have looked at that miracle I don't know how many times, and I still believe I don't grasp it all yet. I've heard very few messages on the significance of the rod of Aaron that budded, blossomed, and bore almonds. But you know, God wants us to pursue the subject.
Amen, yes.
Buds, blossoms, fruit. That's the natural order. But buds give way to blossoms, blossoms give way to fruit. Is that true or not?
Amen. Right.
Well, all three are together. How do you explain that? That's not the natural order. That's a supernatural thing. And remember this. This happened without any planting. This is a dead stick now. Bearing the signs of life. Doesn't that astound you, my friend? Who is that dead stick that came to life with buds and blossoms and fruit? I am he that liveth and was dead.
Yes.
And behold what? I am alive how long?
Forever.
Forevermore.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He doesn't have to die a second time. Once was enough.
That's right.
I am alive forevermore. Hallelujah. So the whole story of the resurrection is hidden in that miracle. I will need 2 days to spend with you.
Yes.
To examine that in more detail. But do your homework and study it for yourselves.
Amen.
And I know Brother Ike has some light in it. He will shed some light. Unless you ask questions, beloved, you're not going to get answers.
Right. Right.
Too many of us are sitting down and waiting for a message as if the preacher has a word for us, but we don't seek God for a word for ourselves. What the preacher gives us will not do away with what God will give you individually. I'm looking forward to the day when God's people come together. Each one has something to give.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Each one, not some of us.
That's right.
But we are so abnormal that it takes time to become normal.
Right.
We need to lament the condition.
Right.
You see, God has a work for each one of us to do. He has a ministry that each one of us has. It may not always be public. You know, the greatest ministry is in private.
Yes.
Right.
And he that sees you praying in secret will reward you openly. Praise God. So I say, those are three important words, and we are in the month of what? What is November? Count wise. The 11th month. Says God trying to tell us something. And did something happen on November the 11th at 11 a.m. in the morning in the year 1918? So we have the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in the year 1918. How many 11ths do you find there? Hour, day, month. 3 11ths. Now, because we don't see meanings in numbers, we dismiss that as just an historical event. It is a prophetical event because guess what? That was the day World War I ended.
Amen.
And you know what came after that? People said no more wars involving the world. It wasn't long afterwards that World War II began. And people say, oh, that's the end. No, there's another one coming.
Yes.
World War III is about to rage. You say, where do you find that in the Bible? I have a Bible scripture for it if you're interested, but I won't give you until you seek. You got to mean it, then I'll show you where it is. World War III is prophesied in the book of Ezekiel.
Yep.
The sword shall be doubled the third time.
Mm-hmm.
How many times? The sword is the instrument of division. It came on World War I, it came in World War II, and it's about to come the third time. And when it comes the third time, it will eclipse all the previous times. This will be a nuclear war.
Yeah.
The thing that man fears most. But what does it matter? They can only kill the body.
That's right.
But they can't kill the soul.
Right.
Amen?
Yes.
And then do you know what? God can also have an A-bomb shelter.
Amen.
You see, people don't know about that. So they're making their own shelters. Mm-hmm. As if that would protect them.
Yeah.
But he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall dwell where? In the shadow of the Almighty. Where is the shadow of the Almighty?
Right.
Hallelujah. And it says, a thousand shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. You see how up to date the Bible is? That's nuclear missiles fired from different countries to other countries, including America. Men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after those things shall come upon the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken.
Right.
What's that all about, the powers of the heavens? Well, I used to take that for exactly what it says. Who are ruling in the heavens above us, the atmospheric heavens? Who is the prince of the power of the air? Yes. Well, Satan's kingdom is going to be shaken until he's cast out from the heavens, cast down to earth, cast down into the bottomless pit, and eventually cast into the lake of fire.
Yes, hallelujah.
I take that for what it says, but here is a gem I'm going to give you. The word heavens is from a Greek word, Uranos, O-U-R-A-N-O-S. From this word we get the English word uranium. The powers of uranium shall be split. That's what Jesus was forecasting. The discovery and use of the atomic bomb. That began on August the 6th in reality, and August the 9th, 1945. You can check that out in your internet or whatever net you got. With so much information floating around,
right,
and people surfing as if they're catching fish, you know. And they're always looking, and always, and they're, where are they getting? It's like the Bible says, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Isn't it sad? We got such a knowledgeable society, but man is more fascinated by the creation of God than by the Creator himself.
Right.
What kind of lunacy is that? But that's how we have sunk as a nation. And we have to stand in the gap for this land. Because perilous times are coming upon us. And we're going to be attacked when we least expect it. And I will not be surprised if this nation is attacked on a Christmas day. When everybody is busy celebrating. But whom are they celebrating? Are they remembering that who is the one for the season? Is he the reason for the season? Or do we make the season just a time of gaiety and socializing and we miss him? Like the innkeeper missed the one who would have made his inn a blessed inn.
That's right.
But he didn't know who was coming that night. How sad. But anyhow, coming back to where I was, the golden pot of manna is Jesus, the bread of life.
Yes,
Lord. The rod that budded, blossomed, and bore fruit, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And the tablets in the ark, it's Jesus' love for us. He loved us. He loved us and gave himself for us. So you got all three L's in the ark. How about that? And I have to leave that because the grace of God that brings salvation. He is life, he is light, he is love. And he gave himself for us on the cross to bring salvation, preservation, deliverance. An interesting word. His name shall be called Jesus. Why? He shall save his people from there, or deliver, protect, preserve his people. Deliver us from our sins.
Right.
Well, the numerical value for the word grace in the Greek, charis, for those who want it, C-H-A-R-I-S, is 911. And when you dial 911, tell me what is that? The emergency number. You ready for another 911? The word first fruits. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that said the word. First fruits has the numerical value 911. Are you ready for a third one? The third one is in the Hebrew language. What was the title that Pilate put on the cross? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. When you take each letter in each word in Hebrew, it amounts to 911. And do you see how that dying thief was converted at the last moment? Yeah. Right. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, what will happen? What was he confessing his words with his mouth? I am a sinner and my friend is a sinner. We are suffering for the wrongs we have done. But this man has done nothing amiss. So what was taking place? The conviction. But you know what brought the conviction? And the revelation? What was the title? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This man recognized in a moment what the Pharisees and Sadducees and all the theologians missed out in. That this man is a king. And guess whom God used to put the title? A heathen unbeliever by the name of Pilate. God can cause even the wrath of man to praise him. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Pilate didn't know he was preaching Christ and he had it done in three languages.
Yes.
What were the three languages? Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Hebrew is the language of revelation. Latin is the language of law. And Greek is the language of culture and education. Would to God Jesus was king in all these areas. Where do you find Jesus as king in the educational system in America? Can you name one place? Except some of the Christian schools that are seeking to give us the real meaning of our spiritual history. Or the homeschooling people. Where is Jesus in our universities? We've departed from our founding fathers. But guess what? This man says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. How did he know Jesus had a kingdom? And how did he know that Jesus dying would be the end? He didn't only know Jesus would die, Jesus would get a kingdom and he'd have many followers. Amen. He saw all of that in capsule form. He saw the day when the kingdoms of this world would become whose? The kingdom of our Lord and his Christ.
Right.
Think about it. And what he saw, very few people saw. And he asked, remember me. That's a covenant word. God remembered Noah. Remembrance, God doesn't suffer from forgetfulness. But whenever you read, God remembered, he's always faithful to his covenant. He never breaks his word. Amen. Hallelujah. How about this one? Abraham is praying for Lot and his family. Isn't it strange? Lot is a believer, but you never find him praying.
No.
Come on. You never find him building an altar. What about that? And yet the Bible calls him a just man. It's one thing to be justified. It's another thing to be sanctified.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
There are many who are justified, made righteous, but they're not walking in holiness. And you can't have one foot in Sodom and another foot elsewhere. You got to be all out for God. And that's why Lot is missing in Hebrews chapter 11. Not one verse is dedicated to Lot. Because he was a failure, not an overcomer. But Abraham is there. Isaac is there. Jacob is there. So the Bible says, when judgment came on Sodom and Gomorrah, God remembered Abraham and brought Lot out of Sodom. God heard the cry of Abraham, and Lot was rescued. Stand in the gap for your unsaved loved ones and friends. Sister Carol was doing that to the very last. She saw the importance of them coming right before God, else they will leave here and go to the realm of darkness. Stand in the gap. You never know how God will move. And sometimes you don't even know that your prayer was answered. Remember, it is not His will that? But how many? So once you're praying in that direction, you hold God to His word.
Amen.
We will be surprised when we see the whole story, how our prayers were answered without our even knowing it. Man ought always to pray and not faint. So this man prayed. And guess what Jesus said? One word. Amen. He said, but that didn't... That's not how it reads, but that's how it really reads. Verily I say unto you, is one word, amen.
Amen.
25 times, verily, verily I say unto you, in the Gospel of John. But in Matthew, verily I say unto you, Jesus was saying amen to his prayer. When we close a prayer, what is the last word we read? So Jesus was saying, I grant your request.
Yes. Yes.
Not tomorrow, but today, shalt thou be with me, where? In paradise. Hallelujah. And guess what led to that man's conversion? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, 911. He was praying an emergency prayer to the one who answers prayer, and he had an emergency rescue.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
That's right.
And where were you and I before we came to the Lord? It was grace that brought us to him. Well, you know what? Grace is not only merit, the unmerited favor of God. Grace is a person. Who do you think is that person? Jesus Christ. And those who know the Lord and come to God's throne, tell me, what does the Bible call the throne of God for the believer or the redeemed washed in the blood of the Lamb? Let us come boldly to the throne of
grace.
Hallelujah. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Are we needy people this morning, beloved? We need to come daily. And as I said, Brother Paul begins with grace and peace, and he ends with grace. But Brother Peter is the only one to say, the God of all grace.
Amen.
That means any need, any problem, it doesn't matter how big or how small, he is there to help you. Amen? My grace is sufficient for you. I am loving that word more and more. And you know, Revelation, people don't want to read it, but that's all right. There's a special blessing for those who read it. Hear it read and do what it says. But I was amazed, though I've looked at the book, Revelation begins with the word grace and peace. And it ends with grace. How about that? In case you never saw that, open your Bibles when you go home.
Amen.
Let me tell it to you right now. Okay? Can you bear a few more minutes? Are you ready to go home and eat? Get the spiritual food first. I like to tease you a little. I don't see you that often. So let's go to Revelation chapter 1. You know, there are many things we read and we don't even observe. I'm guilty just like anybody else. I'm learning just as you are. Chapter 1. Brother Ike, can you read verse 4 for us? Revelation.
John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne.
And so on. Now, what are his beginning words? Grace and peace. How does Paul begin? Grace and peace. That's always the order. Let's go to the last chapter and the last verse. Chapter 22. Brother Ike, can you help us out there? Chapter 22 and verse 21. Notice how this book ends.
22:21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Who would have thought the book of Revelation would begin with grace and end with grace? It's an emergency book for a people in need. He's a present help in the time of trouble. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee. And thou shalt glorify me, the Bible says. Let's call on him now.
Amen.
That he can fortify us to live soberly, righteously, and godly. It brings salvation to all men. Well, grace is reaching out to all men because Jesus loves all men. For God so loved who?
The world.
That he gave his? That whosoever. Who is whosoever?
Us.
Anybody. Right? Believeth into him shall not perish but have everlasting. So God wants us to have daily grace by coming to the throne of grace. And did you know something happened to us? A 9/11? 2001? What was that? The destruction of the two towers in New York. Right? But how many of us only see the destruction, and how many of us are aware that there are many people who were spared from that destruction because of God's grace to them? So if the whole story were told, we would not only see the judgment, we will see how God rescued people who should have been at work but were not there and were prevented from getting there, and how God delivered some who were in the building and they came out without being destroyed in the building. I tell you, the half hasn't been told because you know what? The newspapers won't tell you, and the media will not tell you. But I'll tell you something else that you might not know. A woman who was in a backslidden condition and was trapped under the debris of one of the towers was unconscious, and a fireman came to rescue her. And she said, "What's your name?" And he said, "I'm Michael." And he said, "Stand, lay still. I'm going to get help for you." So finally, some firemen came to rescue her. But while she was unconscious, she came back to consciousness, and she said, "Oh God, hear my mother's prayer for me. I know I'm backslidden. I don't deserve to live, but please, please help me." You know, God has a way to corner us. We may think we're escaping. God will fix us up, all of us.
Amen.
And our loved ones who think they can continue, God has a way of arresting them.
Yes.
So the firemen came and helped her. And where is Michael? "Oh, we don't know of any Michael." But guess what? When they examined her, she had no bruises, no cuts.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
She came out without a scratch. How do you explain that? It's 911, the grace of God.
Amen.
Right.
I want you to think on that. And this woman's story is in a magazine, a Christian magazine. I can't think of the name at the moment, but I have made some copies of it. Brother Ike, if I find a copy, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
And it's a tremendous testimony. And I saw her on the 700 Club. They were interviewing her, and she gave the story, how God rescued her. Beloved, isn't it good when God rescues us?
Amen.
I was sinking deep in sin.
Yes.
Far from the peaceful shore, buried deeply, stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. Did he hear your cry? Is he hearing your cry? He heard that dying thief's cry. He heard that woman's cry. Call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let's call on the Lord. Don't be ashamed. In your need, say, "Oh Lord, help me." Even if you can't put it in words, just let your spirit cry out to God. As a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, oh my God. You know what? We're not praying as a nation. But watch out in the next few months, going on to the next year, what's going to happen to this land? People are going to be found praying that never prayed.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah.
Because we will need deliverance supernaturally.
Thank you, Lord.
And we will need that 911 covering over us.
Yes.
And I'm saying this to you, God is expecting of us now to lay hold of grace, to live soberly towards ourselves. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Dear friend, it's not an option, it's a necessity. Amen. To be filled with the Spirit.
Right.
Yesterday's filling was good, I need a refilling. Yesterday's tank was filled, but if you had to drive 500 miles, you need a refilling.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Be filled with the Spirit. Literally,
right.
Be being filled with the Spirit.
Right.
Speaking
right.
to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart
Amen.
To the Lord.
Yeah. Right.
A Christian filled with the Spirit is a singing Christian. If he can't sing, he'll make a joyful noise.
Yes.
Praise
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Right. That's true.
Live soberly. Don't get drunk with the advertisings going on.
Yes.
Live soberly.
Amen.
How else?
Righteous.
Righteously towards Amen. Others. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who?
Father.
Not you. Glorify your Father. Yep. To live righteously is to live a life that is a witness to others that you hate sin. And you love righteousness.
Amen.
Righteous deeds. God wants us to do things because we are in right. Righteousness means right standing with God.
Right.
And whatever good we do, it's out of our right relationship with God.
Amen.
When it says to the bride was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, who knows what comes after that?
Righteousness of the saints.
It didn't say which is the righteousness of Christ. Read it again. Brother, I just said it. It says, which is the righteousness of the saints. Literally, which are, plural, the righteousnesses of the saints.
Yep.
That means the righteousness of Christ is worked out into them
yes.
and through them. So right. whatever good they do is out of the right relationship with
yes.
God.
Yep.
Right motives. You know, a good question is, what am I doing? Where am I going? What am I doing it for? To get a name and fame? You know, God will corner us. Why are you serving me? I had to decide that before I went into faith. And I'm still living by faith. But you know what? I don't worry as much as I used to worry when you have a family to take care of. But everybody doesn't have that kind of faith. You know, and we tend to judge people. So one day before I launched out into the ministry, I was reading a tract, and this stood out. The tract was entitled, Dying to Self. And these are the words, when you're content with any food, and any climate, and any offering, and refuse to grumble, but give thanks, that is dying to self.
Thank you, Lord.
And I never forgot those words.
Thank you, Lord.
You see, we think so the tract ends, are you dead yet? You may be dead positionally, but are you dead experientially?
Yes.
Do you know what godliness with contentment is great gain? Do you know what that means? People are chasing after so many things, and they end up in what? Discontent.
Yes.
Our true satisfaction is in God, and it's far better to have bread and water in the house than have all the meat and all the delicious meals, but you have contentment. And you are thankful for what God gives you. God will bring us there sooner or later. This wealthy nation is about to become impoverished. Why? We put God out of circulation. And even in churches today, they're preaching another gospel. It's sad. They come for 1 hour and they sing and have a nice social club, but Jesus is not there.
That's right.
It's like Laodicea. Jesus is not in Laodicea. He's outside. Isn't it sad Jesus doesn't have a place in his own house?
Yes. Right.
He's only a figurehead and not a real head.
Yes.
Get that. But thank God I know Jesus is head in my brother's life.
Amen. Yes.
And in the lives of
Hallelujah.
Many people.
Yes.
So we have to live soberly to ourselves, righteously towards others, and godly in our relationship.
Yes.
We must take on the nature of God.
Thank you.
Right.
Godliness. That's a word you don't hear too often. When was the last time you ever heard the word godliness? Godliness with contentment is what?
Great gain.
How many are seeking to be conformed to the image of God, to the image of His Son? Godliness. Godlikeness. One day I was reading, the Lord tells that faithful servant, well done, not how much you did. It's like going to the restaurant, the folks want the steak well done, not halfway done. Well done. Quality. Good. What else? Faithful servant. Well, how do you answer this? The young man came and says, good master, what good thing should I do to have everlasting life? And how does Jesus answer him? Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God. What was Jesus trying to do? Deny he was God? No. He was saying, I'm more than a good master. I'm the good God.
That's right.
Many only know him by titles, but they don't know he's God made manifest in the flesh. And you can't know who Jesus is except by the Spirit. And there is none good, no, not one. So how can God tell the servant, good servant, hallelujah. That used to puzzle me. But I found out the answer, and it is this. God sees his nature in the servant. So the man developed what is known as godlikeness or godliness. When he can see his nature in you as a reflection, that pleases his heart.
Amen.
So how are we to live? Soberly towards ourselves, righteously towards others, and godly in our relationship to God. And if we live that way, when Jesus appears, we will not be ashamed at his coming.
Amen.
Looking for that blessed hope. Do you still have that hope burning? People say we've been hearing Jesus is coming so long. Where is he? Well, he will come at the right time. Though the vision tarry, wait for it. It will come at the appointed time.
Yes,
he is giving. It's not that he doesn't want to come back, but how can he come back if his people are not ready?
That's right.
They that were ready went in and the door was shut.
Yeah, right.
So every day he gives us is a time to get ready. To live how? Soberly. Righteously and godly in this present age. Looking for, how many are looking for him to come and do what he's purposed to do and finish what he has started in us? You should live with expectation. Lord, you began a work in me. You continue in this work, but I want you to finish it. Amen. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The appearing. Hallelujah. I love the word appearing. It has many depths of meaning which because of time we can't explore. But John says, abide in him, and that when he shall appear, you may have confidence or boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Beloved, we don't have to be ashamed when he comes. If we are walking the way he expects us to walk. And we can't do it in ourselves. What will help us to reach the goal? The grace of God. It has brought salvation and it will lead us into the fullness of salvation. And the grace of God is the secret behind the overcoming life. Amen? That's all I can give you in this short time. Because if I open up to you, you wouldn't go home till tomorrow. But I have about 10 days more in, or 8 days more in New Orleans, and the folks there are getting hungry like you folks here. So we have to go back. But I was praying for God to give me something to stir you up. And I hope you'll remember, grace has the numerical value. And only Peter tells us he's the God of how much grace? All grace. And John begins Revelation with grace and peace, and he ends with grace. And that means for us, you can come daily, where?
Throne of grace.
So is there a barrier between us and God? The veil has been rent. Yeah. We have direct access to the throne of God through the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. And you can come anytime. You don't need Brother Ike. I say, Brother Ike, please pray for me. That's good. But you can go there yourself.
Right.
Yes. Amen.
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 Right.
In an emergency, we all pray together. Yes. Amen. But you must develop that personal relationship with God. The Bible says the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Beloved, we have to forsake the way of sin. And if we've been caught in it, repent of it.
Yes.
Ask God to straighten us out. Keep us under the blood.
Right.
Go daily to the throne of grace. Fresh grace. Yesterday's grace was good. You need fresh grace today. And the grace of God will not fail us. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. How many of you have been puzzled over that verse? It's in the book of Hebrews. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. I used to wonder what that meant. It doesn't mean that God's grace will fail us, but we can fail to lay hold of it.
Amen.
God's grace never fails. But how many of us are willing to lay hold of it?
I see it. There you go.
See? Yeah. If you don't lay hold of grace, you'll end up in a mud pool. But only He is able to keep us from falling.
Amen.
Yes.
And to present us faultless.
Right.
Before His presence with exceeding great joy.
Yes.
And it's the grace of God. No wonder Paul says, I am what I am. How?
Grace of God.
Now I labored more abundantly than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me.
Amen.
When we get into that realm, nobody's going to say, look what I did, God.
That's right.
All of us will bow on our faces and say, written up for your grace, God.
That's it.
It's like the elders. I'm going to close with this. And you remember, when I'm closing, it may take a few minutes. But I'll be merciful to you. The elders had crowns, right?
Yeah.
And they had a high position. That's why they're called elders. Not. Did you read that the juniors had crowns on their heads? Come on, help me out. Who are wearing the crown? Elders. That means they have matured in God. And that includes men and women too. You see, here on earth, we put the women aside. They don't have anything to say. Let me tell you something. God's getting hold of not only men, He's getting hold of women, putting us men to shame with their zeal and devotion to God.
Yeah.
So honor the woman in her proper place. She wouldn't seek to take over the role of a man. A woman in her place is beautiful.
Yes, sir.
And don't stifle the women. Make room for them.
Amen.
Women help Paul.
Yes,
think about it. He mentions them many times. And have you noticed there was a couple? Aquila and Priscilla. If you never saw those names, go read your Bible again and read about those two who were co-workers with Paul. But it's not always Aquila and Priscilla. It's Priscilla and Aquila. You ever wondered why? If not, get your eyes opened. Get your eyes opened. And get your traditions out of your thinking.
Right.
And begin to see God is no respecter of persons. Sometimes a woman is more spiritual than her own husband.
Right. Yes.
But that doesn't make her bossy.
That's right.
In love, she can help her husband.
That's right.
That's why some of the husbands are turned off.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, it's not always the man. Sometimes the woman is more gifted. And because we're so blind with our traditions, we're going to fight the tradition, stand with it to the very end, rather than let the Word of God explain itself.
Right, bro.
May I tell you, if he can't find a man, and he can't find a woman, he's going to use a donkey to speak. Get that in your heads, my friend.
He will. Yeah, he
you and I are candidates for God to work on in these last days.
Amen.
We need to know our God for survival. So may this message of living soberly, righteously, and godly. May it be like a fire burning in us. That we will hate sin and love righteousness.
Right.
That we will see people are looking at us. What are they seeing?
Amen.
The old man or the new man?
Yeah.
Are we willing to lay hold of God's grace? And are we willing to recognize He's a present help? He's 911, and you don't need a quarter to dial. Call. I can't end yet. I keep the best for the last. Ready? Because you're hungry, you're going to enjoy this. Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. The first and the last. Is that true?
Yes.
Well, when we don't know numerical meanings, we miss out a lot. Well, one day I was looking at this. So I thought to myself, I wonder what alpha means in numbers. You know, every word has a numerical value, like Roman numerals. I remember as a boy at school, we had a test for children